Well, it's so great to have one of our missionaries here this evening that our church has been supporting. Brother Mattia, your last name is
Mattia,
right? So it's got two T's, so I wasn't exactly sure how to pronounce it, right? But you were telling me before the service that you've been in Germany for 32 years as a missionary. Now, what's really interesting is Brother Mattia and his wife are both MKs. His parents were missionaries in Germany. Her parents were missionaries in Hong Kong. And then both of them came back to the States to go to school. They met in a college, and then now they've been in Germany. But you said for 32 years you've been in Germany. Does that mean that you went to Germany in 1992? Because I went back and checked, and our church has been supporting you since 1992. So we've been supporting them the whole time they've been in Germany. And so that's a blessing to see just the faithfulness there in the country of Germany and just what God has been doing. And so we're so glad to have them here this evening. And one of the reasons why it's always great to be able to have missionaries on furlough come in is, you know, we support many missionaries, but we have a lot of folks that are newer in the church that may not have met some of the missionaries that we've been supporting for a number of years. And so it's always great to have them come. So brother, you come and introduce your wife and your ministry, and I'm just going to turn the service right over to you. Bless you, brother.
What the Lord's been doing, and it's been a real joy to see the joy of the Lord in your hearts as you worship the Lord here. Very natural and very cheerful spirit among you, and love for the Lord, and I enjoyed especially the children all coming up and saying verses. That's unusual. I'll quote one for you in German. Ob ihr nun esst oder trinkt oder sonst etwas tut, tut alles zur Ehre Gottes. 1. Korinther 10, Vers 31. Now, it sounds very similar to English. Anybody guess which verse that is? That's 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that is our passion. We have chosen that verse as a theme verse for our ministry in Germany. And in a moment, I'll get to that. I tend to forget a lot of things, so I'm going to ask my wife just to stand briefly, and so you all see who she is. We're very thankful. I'm very thankful for the 39 years of marriage he's given to us. I think you are too, but I didn't mean to put words in your mouth. Very thankful for the 39 years of marriage, and in a moment, I'll go a little bit to the family and what the Lord has done in our lives. Pastor said, and we know, 2 years ago we were here and you were still in the old facilities, or in the other facilities. And at that time already, there was a thought of this facility. I'm not sure how far along that thought had developed, but after the service, we drove up here and just drove through the parking lot to see what it might be. And today, on the way here, we drove through the old parking lot. Just again, it's just a blessing to see how God works. And we're really happy for you, really happy for you. What the Lord has given you here is a facility. It was really cramped that night. We came in late, and we found some seats in the back, but it was really tight. And praise the Lord for the room for growth here and all the wonderful situation here. And Pastor said that I don't need to preach, and I did want to just share something at the beginning that's on my heart. It's not, if I would have brought a message, it would have been another passage, and I got to watch the time. But in Psalm 57, we as believers are prone, and it's naturally so, that when everything's going well, we're eager to praise the Lord, right? I mean, when I'm saying when you don't have bills you can't pay, and or when you have plenty of money to cover all the bills, when the house is fine, there's no catastrophe, health, all those things, it's very easy and natural to praise the Lord, and that's good. Some people don't, but that's good. But how is it when we're in difficult situations, trying situations, health-wise, financially, whatever it is. David was in a situation like that, and the Lord really used a passage in my life to encourage me when we were going through some challenges, and you've read about some of those in the prayer letters in the past years. But in Psalm 57, David, He's been pursued by Saul, and Saul was not looking to be nice to him in any way. He wanted to have his head. He wanted to kill him. And David is in one of those very tight situations, and the preface to the verse says he's in a cave fleeing from Saul, and we believe he's probably in En-Gedi at this time, and there's no hope, humanly speaking. There's just no hope. He's surrounded by Saul's men. And what do we find here in this psalm? The first few verses, he turns to the Lord and pleads for help and mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of the wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God, most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. And just this thought, in the middle of this calamity, difficult situation, where does he turn? He turns to the Lord, and he says, I'm going to trust in you. And he claims, God, most high, that is, there's nobody bigger than you. You can deal with everything. You will lead everything to the point that you would have it to go. And that's what is in verse 2 then. Unto God that performeth all things for me. That means literally to bring those things to being, to be that he has planned. And so David here is really trusting in the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord in spite of the terrible circumstances in which he is. And then in verses 4 and following, he explains some of those terrible situations in pictures. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue are a sharp sword. So I'm not going to expound on this passage, but just that we have this understanding. It's a really tough time for him. Really tough. But David always turns to the Lord and brings praise to him and rejoices in the Lord here in this psalm, and we see that. And I want to just jump down to verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And our burden is, even as we have opportunity to be here in the States, sharing what the Lord has been done, that the Lord would be exalted, that he would be lifted up, and that you would rejoice with us, we rejoice, through all that he has done in Germany. I know most of you have probably not been there, and we invite you to come, but maybe you'll never be there. It doesn't matter. It's just another field of service where the Lord is working. But we praise God for what he has been doing in his name and for his testimony. And I could tell you many, many stories of how people have observed, just observed what's going on there, and come back to say, wow, you are in a privileged place. How does this happen? And we explain that it is God that works and God that has brought this to be. I could tell you of government officials, all kinds of things. We'll see how question time goes on later. But we just want to hope and we pray that this will be a time of real encouragement as you see what God is doing there in Germany. And as Pastor mentioned, the church has been supporting us all these years, and we're so thankful for that. Carol and I are both 60, and we're thankful for the years he's given us and the health he's given to us, and for whatever time he gives us yet, we want to serve him faithfully to the end, however long that is. So I'm not good with an iPad, but I see back there, I think that's the same picture you guys get, so that's enough for the first picture. Now I touch this one, I guess. Okay. This is our family. The Lord entrusted us with 7 children. And just because you don't know us so well, I do want to give a little background here. We originally visited with 2, the first 2, number 1 and 2, Eric and Eldon. And I'll say this to the start. We're so thankful that God, in his grace, has also saved all seven of these children. They love the Lord Jesus, and they're living for him. And the ones, one and two and four, on the left side of the screen, live here in the States and have families the Lord has given to them. Eric lives in North Carolina. Eldon lives in Florida. And he's Eric is a product manager for Fidelity, but serves in his church. And Eldon is a doctor, a cardiologist down in Florida, in Gainesville. And then LaVon, that's actually our fourth child in the middle there, and Clay. They do real estate work and things like that. But they have a German flag in their thing because they bought a home now in Germany. And they want to be in Germany near the camp as much as 6 months a year just to help us there in the work. So we're thankful for that. Number three is Lorraine, our daughter, and she and her husband are in full-time ministry with us there in the camp ministry, supported by the German churches, and that's our burden now that the ministry becomes more and more all German. Then number four I mentioned, LaVon, and number five, Lynette, and her husband. She married a German man, as did Lorraine, and they live in Germany, actually in the house in which we originally lived and serve in the church plant in which we originally lived. Some of you remember us from the first 15 years of ministry. We were in Magdeburg and did church planting work there. That church is well underway, and they're there serving in that church. And then number six, Edwin, he and his wife moved down to camp just a year ago, and he is a paramedic, and he and his wife also help us much in the camp in all their time that they're not working in their profession. And number seven is Evan, our baby, and he is 19 years old, and he's finishing a practical, education as a metal worker. And that's, I don't know how else to explain that all in English. But and they all love the Lord, and all those in Germany have been coming to camps and working in the kitchen or whatever as a counselor and things like that. So I won't go into all that. Now, I've divided the ministry into three things. First is the church ministry. When we moved to the camp facility that's right in the heart of Germany, we'll see later, there was no church in the town nearby, in the big capital of that state. And it's not the capital, sorry, Gotha is not the capital, but it's a well-sized city. And so the Lord sent a missionary with us, or to work with us there, Stephen and Vicky King. And he is the pastor of the church, and I am an elder that supports there in that ministry. And we have many responsibilities in the church, and that is our one aspect of ministry. And here you see some of the families. We could tell stories on the different ones, but they're different ones that got saved and came into the ministry and are there now. And the church ministry has grown to about 90 people. So it's not huge, but it's well established, I would say, and has a lot of families in all ages. And so it's a nice, very, very healthy situation for which we are thankful. And as in any ministry, in the ministry here, we're working in all types of areas with them. We have a children's and youth ministry, maybe similar to what you have here, with Sunday school and children's clubs and youth clubs and things like that. Then we have a Bible study, a ladies' Bible study, and Carol is heavily involved in that and teaches that about half the times and works with the ladies. I'll come to that later. Then we have special meetings throughout the year. So we have one coming up in November on marriage and the family, and we've had on creation and evolution and just different topics that help to take like a Saturday or a Friday, Saturday, Sunday like that, and have like an intensive Bible study or look at a certain subject. And we do evangelism, just like you do. Certainly personal evangelism, but then also, event evangelism. And this is why I put this picture in here. We did a Lego evangelism. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. I don't know if you've ever done that. But there are several in Germany that have a U-Haul trailer packed with Lego, all kinds of cars and trucks and cities and a zoo and all those kind of things. And every morning, like a DVBS, you build something, and then you have your normal DVBS program. And we found that the children loved it. They came, they brought their friends. It was a great time. We didn't have enough Lego, so to speak, for all the kids that came. And the parents came after that, and it was a tremendous ministry. Then we also have a normal open-air ministry. This I show because the young man down on the left-hand side, Daniel, got saved a couple years ago, has a real burden for the lost, and he wanted to do this ministry. And he took it into his hand. He gets the permissions. He got the tent and the book table and all that stuff. He heads the whole thing up by himself, and we just come and join him, which is really a blessing just to see how the Lord has transformed his heart and is using him for his glory in that evangelistic way. And that's not the only way he's evangelistic, but that's one way. Then our baptisms, we don't have a baptistry in our church, so we go out to a lake, and we just had a baptism on in August here. We don't have them, you know, we have maybe one or two a year, not so often, but we had the joy of baptizing three on this last baptismal service. And it's often a time, too, to speak even to the lost, because there are lost people there at the lake or whatnot, and they're wondering what's going on. So a really good testimony. Then we also are thankful for the weddings and being in the camp ministry, as I'll share right away. We have a lot of contact with young people, and these are some of the weddings in our church locally right there in Gotha. But I've also invited sometimes, and was this year too, to perform weddings in other places too. And then counseling is a part of our ministry. And as we're the older ones, we also share in the counseling ministry, especially of the older people, and marriage counseling. And yeah, that's some of the ministry that we have. And discipleship. This is Daniel that I was telling you about before. Even as we're here in the States, we've been writing back and forth and looking forward to being back and helping him along in his walk with the Lord. So that's the church ministry, and as you pray for us, we appreciate you praying for that responsibility that we have and the ministry there. But then the camp ministry is the reason we moved to Gotha, or to Georgenthal, actually, and I'd like to share that. That is a wonderful work that the Lord opened up back in 1992 when we went to Germany. My dad had been doing camps all along. We'd rent a facility, and then we'd go and have camps there. And he asked me to take that ministry from him, and so I did. And we continued to do that for many years, and went for the summer camps. We'd go down to Spain and had a camp facility there we were fixing up. And that went for about 15 years. But in that time, we saw what a blessing it would be if the Lord gave us a facility. And so we looked for 11 years. We were searching until the Lord gave us the perfect gift. And I could tell the story of that. It was just a miracle the way the Lord gave it to us. And glory be to his name for having done that. But that is the camp facility now that we're rebuilding. It used to be a communist youth camp. So if you remember, Germany was separated. They called it the Iron Curtain, East and West. And the East is where we are. And this was a communist youth camp there. They trained the young men in the ideology of communism. And today we're there and preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you see, it's right in the middle of Germany, the geographic center of Germany. It's about, I think, about 10 miles from the geographical center of Germany, which was one of the things we'd prayed about. We didn't pray that it had to be that precise, but we wanted to be in the middle, and we wanted to be in the east. And the Lord provided this. And so people don't have more than about 3.5 hours from anywhere in Germany to get there. When you think of camp, sometimes you think of all the campers, but I put this picture in because we've seen that the camp ministry involves so many people, workers, those that are rebuilding the structures and buildings, the counselors, the staff, and helpers of all sorts. And we've just found that this camp ministry, the facility, opens up doors that we never even thought of before, of ministering to people, right? And we're just so thankful for that. And so since 2012, we've been holding summer camps on this property there, only the summer camps. We couldn't put the people in the houses legally, so we had to pitch tents, and I'll show that in a minute. But the original property was about 30, 32 acres, and just this year we've been praying that the Lord would allow a couple more acres to be added, and just this year he added 18 more acres. And I know in America that's not much. You know, we just came from northern Ohio, and people have all kinds of farms for sale for all kinds of acreages. But in Germany, that's incredible. And to the glory of God, I just want to say, you have to be amazed at that even if you aren't, okay? It's just amazing that God made that possible. For 8 years, we were asking the owners around there if they would sell. And finally, this spring, when I went and asked again, the lady considered, it was a long story, but she had a half-hour grilling session of questions all about what we believe and things like that. And then she turned to her assistant and she said, well, I guess he's okay. And we can sell it to him. So we're thankful for that. And so these are the 18 acres that were added. And we're praying maybe that the Lord would allow us to add a lake there and a couple animals and things like that. Our goal is we have a lot of city kids and we'd like to see them. That's why we also prayed that it would be in creation, in nature, but God's creation, so that the people are taken out of the city and all the man's stuff and put in creation. And we are that. It's unusual for Germany again. I know in the States it's not, but in Germany it's unusual to have a facility that's in the middle of the woods. And we're surrounded just by hundreds and thousands of square meters of woods. And so, yeah, I'll leave it at that. So we've been doing it in tents, as I mentioned to you. We started out with 8 tents that were loaned to us, and now we're up to 20 tents. Each tent has 6 to 8 campers in it and has bunk beds. The German army, I went and asked, and they donated some bunk beds to us that are just perfect. And so that's how we've been doing camp so far. We've seen the camps, the summer camps, grow. We last in 2019, we had 250 kids coming in the summer, and now we're up to around 600. And it just was a steady growth, even through COVID. A lot of camps had to shut down, and the Lord allowed that our doors were able to stay open, and we had more and more campers each year in spite of COVID. In the morning, our preaching is more Bible teaching, because there are always kids that are there. The bulk of the kids are Christians, and we're trying to bring them along in their faith. But in the evening, especially in the summer camps and also our winter camps, those two... We have a lot of kids bringing their friends from schools. Most kids don't go to Christian schools in Germany. They have just normal worldly schools, so they'll bring their friends. And so we always have a lot of lost kids, and we're thankful for that, and that's why we put that heavy emphasis on it too. And this summer we had about 25 decisions that we feel comfortable saying that these people trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. For the time's sake, I'm just going to show this picture, but these are two young men, clean cut, look nice, sweet, well-behaved and all that. So at first initial, you think they're good kids, they're saved. And we found out they were not. And the Lord just, after a couple days, started revealing their needs, their sinful needs, and they realized that they were sinners. And it was wonderful to see, by the end of the week, both of these boys trusted the Lord. One of them has criminal activity behind him. He'll probably have to go to jail for a couple of years. But he just wanted to get things right with his God, with his Creator. And we were just thrilled to see that desire in his heart then that Lord had been drawing him. Singing is important to us, and we have a song service always at the beginning of each gathering for about a half hour. And we rejoiced singing tonight with you some of those hymns that we know and love, the old tried and true hymns. And we sing a lot of good music with them. We believe that the Lord also, there's a type of music that honors him and that doesn't honor him. So these are some things. Then Bible study, we find that a lot of kids, even that come out of Christian homes, don't have personal devotions. So that's been an emphasis in our camp ministry, encouraging that, teaching them how to have personal devotions and Bible study. We have a camp geared specifically towards that around Easter, Jugendphänomen. And we better go on. And then other camps, winter camps. We now have 2 winter camps in the Swiss Alps. The Lord's given us a home, a house there that has room for 80 beds or 80 campers, and we have those always full. And those are very active kids that are there, and a lot of lost kids in that too. And we also see always that the Lord saves people in that. They come sometimes, I can't go into all the stories, but they come with very needy hearts and very hard and rebellious sometimes, and through many different situations that the Lord gives, also hardships. One ski camp, I had 11 trips to the hospital. I can't go into all the stories. But just to see how God works in their hearts and brings them to him. itself. We're thankful that we are able to be there and share that. Then there's a music camp in the spring and other adult young camps. Actually, today our young adult camp started at camp in our absence. My brother-in-law is heading that up, Brad McKenzie. And beginning of every day starts with a devotional time and prayer meeting, and this is our counselors from one of the summer camps this summer. Also getting the kids ready as counselors, we have a special camp training them for 4 days where we teach them how to do counseling and prepare them for the ministry. Yeah, that's about all I can say to that. Then 146 volunteers. For the summer, we have 10 weeks of camps. For the summer, all of our staff is really volunteer staff. We don't have, in that sense, a paid staff like some camps do here in the States. And so to find 146 Christians who love the Lord Jesus is not easy in Germany that can take the time to come, and we pray for this every year. And it's been growing every year as the number of campers have grown, but we're thankful this summer we had 146 different ones, and some of them will stay for two camps or three, and a couple seldom will stay for the whole summer. This is Manuel. He came to camp as a child, trusted the Lord, and long story, but the Lord worked in his heart. He was a missionary for 2 years in Brazil, came back to Germany, and became the executive director of the biggest solid tract producing company in Germany. And he works there, and he brings his children, that's the next picture, that's his son, brings his kids to camp, and they came and worked at camp. Just a little testimony of how over the years the Lord's working in hearts. The Lord's given us a nice facility with camps and carts and all kinds of things, Tischfußball and Tisch tennis and Billard and different games like that. And then here you see the slip and slide soap. You know Germany loves soccer. This is soap soccer. And it's just really loved by everybody. It's just slippery and gooey and all that, except for the nurses. They're not crazy about this. Then the Lord provided in that facility, again, this is a miracle of God's doing, an area where we could do a big soccer field. It's 100 yards by 50 yards. And they said, no, that won't work. And the Lord worked in the hearts of the environmentalist head lady and the head forestry guy. And I was standing there, and they both agreed to it and signed. And then 2 years later, when we were going to do it, I was going to the forestry again to tell them we're starting now. And the guy said, my boss will never permit you to do this. And I said, you know what? God worked in his heart already, and he already signed it 2 years ago. And he couldn't believe it, and I had to prove it to him. So that was just very interesting. Anyway, and the Lord provided this facility in 2008. It was very run down. It took us 2 years just cleaning up all the trash and everything that had been trashed. And we've been working on it ever since. When we don't have camps, we're working on it. And this is one of the two main dormitory buildings. We started on that now. We have the main facility that has this, the dining room, the kitchen, the chapel, and arena, and the game room that you saw. That we got approved this spring. Now we're working on this big building. It's 56 yards long, 13 yards wide, and 5 stories high. And last fall we started on the 5th story, the highest story, and put in 4 little suites and 4 rooms, so we have about 46 beds up there. Now we're working on level 4 and 3. Each level will add 60 more beds, and that will give us then a year-round camp facility to use. And all the work's being done by volunteer labor. We're thankful the Lord is working in hearts. He's extended our reach to many believers throughout Germany. Also from America, teams have come over to help us rebuild this camp. Then the third thing is the extended ministry, and I got to rush along. But through the camp ministry, the Lord has opened doors to us. Obviously, we've been over there 32 years, so you get to know a lot of people. And so by his grace, we've been able to get to know good Bible-believing churches throughout Germany. And some of them are of Russian-German descent. And if you don't know about that, I can explain it later. We don't have time for it now. But they've also invited us now to minister in various capacities. And one is, I go to pastors' retreats and preach the word of God there. They invite us, and I preach at evangelistic meetings We've been invited to many men's retreats, which I will be preaching and have preached. Then there was a national youth conference, youth workers conference, that I was asked to explain from the Bible what youth work is, because there's all kinds of ideas out there about youth work, but they aren't necessarily based on the Bible. So that is our burden. Then young adult meetings. On many a weekend, we'll be invited to go to a church and do a young adult meeting, and then stay for the Sunday service and also minister there. And then we also are invited to go and introduce the camp ministry to different churches. And so even this year, we were in about seven different churches, and some of them are new churches and that we didn't know before. And just to explain our burden to proclaim Christ and to have his word in the center of the whole ministry. So then a closer look, and I'm just going to really quick touch on that. I have 3 minutes. So this is my wonderful wife, and she sometimes you don't know much about her. But maybe you've read about her on occasion. I've mentioned she's been an incredible support to the ministry in every way. And she has been the cook, the head cook of the camp ministry there all these years, in various capacities and various situations, but it's been a lot, I'm just going to say. But I'm thankful that the Lord's given her a heart to support her husband in whatever way and wherever the Lord called us to, and that was what she does. But it's not only the kitchen, and I'll say this, our kitchen is famous in Germany. We literally had some people from a Bible student come, and I said to them, why did you come to this camp to minister here? I said, well, we heard you've got good food. So anyway, in the last few years now, more and more, they've heard that she also brings a good word, and so only ladies to ladies, but to ladies' meetings. She's been invited, and she was invited this spring, I think it was, to Detmold, and there are some 200 ladies there, and I just praise the Lord for her. I'm just trying to share with you a little bit. Sometimes a missionary man is there, and it's who God has called, but don't forget the wife, and we appreciate you guys all pray for us a lot, and I'm thankful for all the emails. I don't know if I said it at that beginning. It's amazing how often I hear from you and ask prayer requests. Thank you. It's good to know people are praying for us, but you can also pray for my wife and the ministry she has. And here's just a picture of some of the counseling. She has about 11 to 12 ladies that she works with regularly. Some of them are unsaved. Some of them are saved. Some have really great needs in their lives. And you can pray for her as she teaches and counsels and does a ministry. And then a closer look at unexpected request. Okay, my time's almost up. Just this. Sometimes we get strange things. We get a strange email. I didn't know what to do with this email. Can we come stay at your camp? My son wants to have a birthday party. I didn't know anything about these people, but I prayed about it, and the Lord gave me peace. I said yes. So they came, and they stayed there a weekend, went home, and they were so excited about our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We just tried to show normal Christian love, gave them our tents, and let them eat with us and all that kind of stuff. And they came back, and they've been faithfully serving in the camp ministry. And then I found out they don't have a church ministry to go to. They live about an hour away, so we invited them to church, because that's the first thing, actually. And thankfully, now they've come to church regularly, and they joined the church just a couple weeks ago. So we're just praising the Lord over all those kind of things, how the Lord, he just networks, you know, everything. And one last thing, I do want to share just this really quickly. This is wonderful. On the left, you see a young lady, totally atheistic home, no believers around her. She got saved wonderfully. I can't go into all the details. She wanted to go to a Christian camp. She told her mom. Her mom said, okay. She typed into the computer, Christian camp, found our camp, brought her daughter, dropped her off, 15 years old. Didn't know anything about us. That girl grew in the Lord in that 1 week she was at camp, went back, and this young man on the next to her is not a boyfriend. It's just he's also out of atheistic home and got saved. Amazing story. I can't go into it now. They had been reading the Bible together with a third person, and that's the young lady here in the middle picture on the left, and had started an evangelistic group and only reading the Bible. They'd gone to a charismatic church, and they came back and said, that's not what we read in the Bible. I mean, nobody had been teaching him, no other books, just the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And long story, that's after she had been at camp, I don't know if you can go back on this, doesn't matter, Jonas came to camp kind of aggressively and said, "What did you do to Freya?" And it went for quite a while, and I didn't know what to do with this until he said, "I want to have what she has too." And he was so excited. She learned the word of God. She was singing good songs and all this. Her heart was filled with things of the Lord. And so then I said, "Okay, listen, Jonas, you can come to any service you want. You can stay overnight. We'll give you a bed and all that." And for the rest of the summer, he came to camps. He ate it up. He called it his filling station. And he would stay, and we would talk to him and share from the Bible. And I got to quit. And so how can I tie this up real quick? Okay, so he grew in the Lord in that summer, and then he wanted to have more. And so he would come to our home, and we'd work with him. And long story, he's got an inline skating team. And the young lady, that's the next picture here, on his, over on the right there, was in his team and observed his life and also got saved now. Her name's Mary. And she does have a romantic interest in him, but we believe she really got saved, and we baptized her. She was one of those three that we baptized in August. And they're looking to get married, and he's now going to a good Bible school and wanting to prepare better to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he knew us, he had this evangelistic group, and somewhere I had it in there anyway, where they were cooking and inviting any kids off the street from school, anywhere, inviting them, and just they would come, they would get a meal, and then he would preach the gospel to them. And what's that? Yes, right. Thank you, Carol. And then I said, "Well, camp's good and all that, but you need to join a church." And so now they came and want to join our church. And we're just thankful for that. It's just one thing after the other where we just rejoice in the Lord, what he does. These are some of the young men we're working with and couples and things like that for the ministry. And we appreciate if you pray for that. We're getting old. I know I look old. My wife doesn't at all. They sometimes ask me, "Why didn't you bring your wife? I didn't know anything about you bringing your daughter." And I said, "That is my wife, right? I just look really old." So, but you can pray for us as we minister there in these three different things. So we have prayer cards out there, and then you see this QR code. That is where if you, with your phone, scan it, you can sign up right away and get a prayer, get on our prayer letter list directly, and then you'll receive everything from us. So we thank you so much. We can't say enough in a half hour, but we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We praise the Lord for what he's done among you here, and are thankful for the support that you give as we serve him there in Germany.
Brother Mattia, hold on 1 second. Does anybody have any questions you want to ask, maybe about the camp ministry or anything that they've got going on? Anybody have a question or anything you'd like to ask about any of the ministries? Ms. Terry?
The name of our city in which we have our church. Erfurt is probably the bigger city that you might know. Erfurt or Weimar. Weimar is a very culturally and historical important city.
Is there a hand over here? Is your mic on?
The camp ministry, excuse me, is supported. So the workers that are there, and we now have 5 employees, they're supported by 50% by the campers' fees and 50% by they raise support among German churches in Germany. So our goal is really that this is a German, they use the word indigenous, right, kind of ministry, and that is how the camp ministry is supported. And we do not actually ask in the United States for money, although I do admit There have been donations from the states and even a couple significant ones, but I don't actually, you won't hear anything in our prayer letters in that way.
How many churches, like in Germany, would you say are affiliated with the camp or whatever?
So that's a good question. It's hard for me to say, but I would say about 50 to 60 that we work with regularly. But those can be anything from a small church with 10 people to a large church, like some of these Russian churches. They would have, there's like three that work with us, and they have like 400 members or something like that. But I would say probably that regularly and close-knit work with us, it would be more like a dozen.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Somebody else? Somebody else have a question? Here we go.
Yes, it's close. I don't know how close your camp is. It's close to our church because the Lord allowed us to plant, to start a church in a big town near the camp. So we only go 25 minutes to church. That's how far we drive from camp down to church.
Brother Jay? As a missionary kid, you were in Germany.
Yes, I was born over there and grew up and went to German public schools. You know, I don't know if I can really gauge that. When I was a kid, we did street evangelism, all that kind of thing, and we got scoffed at, but we were in a university city in Western Germany, Southern Western, and it's very different now in the East. I would just say that is a big difference because the East is former communist and very atheistic. And so like Jonas's mom and dad, when Carol was talking to Zoli, she just scoffed. Every time Carol said something that was in any way spiritual or, you know, related to God, she would just scoff at her, kind of, ha, like that. That's not always the case, though. So we have people come to the camp facility because they were there as in the youth camp or it was a asylum-seeking camp for a while. And they come just back for old time's sake or whatnot, and we always try to share the gospel and the Lord with them. And we've had some tremendous opportunities there. Just because they saw communism was such a fraud and such a, So it's, we just pray that the Lord opens their hearts. Right now, just mention one of our prayer requests, right now, urgent, our neighbors, we have neighbors, one neighbor family that lives there, they're going to move. And we actually just got a message from them on the way down here today. They want to sell us their house, for which we're thankful and everything like that, but we don't want to see them move because we've been witnessing to them for all these years, and they haven't trusted Christ yet. So they're open and they like us, I would say. They like us, but they haven't trusted Christ.
Miss Anita, you have a question?
So you're a second generation, or was your parents' family in Germany as well?
So my dad comes from East Prussia. So he was, you know, he's full-blooded German. And his dad actually was a preacher. A Pentecostal preacher, but he was a preacher and a born-again man. And long story, so my dad came to the States and married my mom and then went back, So I'm third generation, we're praying for a fourth.
Aaron?
Yes, sir. So, very good question. It is all year. That means we have camps throughout the year, but it's not, all the way, every week, right? So we have, I think I counted now, 14 camps, or 16, I don't know. And but now as we get facilities where we can have it all year, we want to build that up, and we were talking about that on the way down here too, yes. So, but like right now, we have 2 weeks in Switzerland, and then we have... And now that we have the facilities, we have a lot of camps there, right there in the camp itself.
With all the buildings and things that you have, I know you said some of them you're not able to meet in yet. What percentage of the property or buildings are you actually able to use for camp ministry right now, would you say?
So the main complex is done, and we can use that year-round.
Okay.
You have to put a furnace in there yet to heat it for year-round, but we have wood stoves. Overnighting, right now, we just have that one level that we just finished this year. So, but that, so to speak, is sort of opened the door.
Right.
And now we're praying that by next May or June, we'll have level four done, maybe level three at two, which would add 60 or 120 beds.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, we're really, it's really exciting from our vantage point, because we've been going towards this since 2010, I would say, working on it, so it's been a long process. But one of our philosophies is we build as we need, and we build as we can. So we're not taking a loan, we're building as the Lord provides finances and workers and all the things, so we just go along like that.
Are all the camps strictly in German? Or are there any camps of, like, do you reach people from other countries coming in and having camps, or?
So we have a translating service. We do have French and Russian sometimes, now from Ukraine because of the war there. Mm-hmm. We've had Ukrainian children there. And we have translators in, and they get headsets. And we do reach out to them like that, but we actually have German camps. We have considered, because they've asked us, because we speak English, if we wouldn't have an English camp, because in Germany, English is a second language, and they would like to practice it.
Oh, wow.
But so far, we've kind of battled against it because, well, different reasons. Mm-hmm. But one is we don't want it to become an American camp.
Mm-hmm.
We like it to have the German. So my brother-in-law is a musician also, and he put together a very good song book with very good songs, and are trying to, in all areas, be German.
Amen. Very good. All right.
We have a lot of young German preachers now that have, we have kind of a pool of German preachers, I would say about six. What, Carol? We have a pool of about six German preachers, young men, that serve and are faithful in their preaching. Okay. So we've added them into the ministry there.
Amen. Ms. Lee, do you have a question?
That's a question that the children have asked us, please not to answer with, we're going to put away the tents. So literally the teens begged us not to get rid of the tents. They love it. But I know on the other hand, the adults, they're so eager to have the home housing. So we don't just have tents. We literally have wooden platforms. We get old pallets, put those out first, and then we get this wood that is free. And we put that, we screw that on there, and then we pitch the tents on there so that when it does rain, they still have a dry floor. And we actually have one electrical light in there just to help keep order. Germans love order.
Amen. That's good. All right. Very good.
Thank you very much.
Well, make sure, Brother Mathieu, if you and your wife want to go ahead and go back to the table back there, and make sure you stop by their table, pick up one of their prayer cards. They have their prayer cards back there, and be in prayer for them. On the back, it has several things you can be praying for. I think those were even, they're up there right now, for witnessing, sharing the gospel, preaching Christ, ministry, physical and spiritual needs. And so take one of those prayer cards and be in prayer for them. If you want to sign up for their email that you can get, there's a QR code on the screen or on the back table. There's also a QR code there. That you can get on there and sign up for their email prayer letters as well. And but that's such a neat ministry there in Germany, being able to reach many, many young people for Christ. And so we praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and stand together. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer.